Can I just ask you about one or two of the players, you know, who were prominent in the Gloucester side then? I mean, you just mentioned Bumps Carpenter, and he seems to have been a legend in his own time.
Absolutely.
What's, you know, tell us about him.
Absolutely.
He seems to have been a very hard man.
Oh, hard. Oh. I can remember a prop forward called Tom Price, a very great prop forward, one of the best, second to none that's ever propped for Gloucester, without any doubt. I can remember him telling me in one of his early games, and he used to love going down, stopping forward rushes, which we don't see today. It seems quite a strange game, never seeing forwards 3 and 4 dribble 30, 40 yards with the ball, which you used to see constantly in those days. And Tom was the one who always used to go down on the rush. He said, and I always remember, I was prone to go down to them too often. He said, and I remember going down to them once, and as I went down to them, it hadn't been the first time, somebody came over the top of me, taking the kicks and the bumps. It was Bumper. And as we got up, he said, if you keep going down like that, my boy, in your career, you won't last very long. Stay on your feet more. And that was Bumps, looking after somebody else again.
Yeah.
That was the sort of player he was. A very, very fine hooker of a ball, too. If he didn't win 3 or 4 against a strike in a game, there was something wrong. Today, I don't know what he would do when they put the ball in the second row or the other side. I don't know. I don't know what he would be saying. He wouldn't have minded putting it in 6 inches straight to the other people. He would have got it from there. Because they used to swing in those days as well.
Yeah.
They didn't only used to hook it with a ball, but if they really wanted to get it, they used to hold on the two props and their two legs would go forward to get it back.
Yeah.
Quite different. Quite different
well, it
today.
It was a real contest in those days.
A real contest.
Yeah.
A real contest.
Of course, the folklore says that Bumps Carpenter used to go down the mine in the forest in the morning, Saturday morning, and work for the morning, then walk to King's Home and play for Gloucester.
Yeah, I don't
know. Do you think that actually happened?
Well, I don't know if that's true or not. I've heard that Sid Smart used to walk to a lot of games around, to Cheltenham and Stroud and pieces like that. He would walk to that. But I don't know about Bumps. I can't confirm that, yes or no, to be quite truthful.
Yeah.
I would not be at all surprised. But
he always seems to have been the bridesmaid when it came to England, though. He had no end of trials. And
I'm afraid the West Country in those days, the working man wasn't looked on favourably compared to the London clubs and Oxford and Cambridge sides. You'd have to ask the England selectors why, but
I think there may have been a bit of a chip on Bump's shoulder over that, because he's quoted later on in life as saying that the greatest honour he ever had was playing for the Barbarians rather than England.
It probably was, you see. It probably was. Bump's probably had a chip on his shoulder about it. Because a number of times he used to go up, I know, to England trials in coaching sessions were quite a lot. He used to get called on to go up to show the England hooker how to hook.
And indeed to internationals as the reserve. He was on
absolutely.
The bench game after game.
Game after game.
The only time he ever got on was against South Africa.
He played against South Africa.
But it was very noticeable, wasn't it, that the Gloucester players who played international rugby in the 30s, an awful lot of them had been to Oxford and Cambridge.
Absolutely.
The majority, you'd say, had actually been to Oxford.
Whether it was easier for England selectors to watch Londoners, because most of the selectors lived in that area, and to travel 100 miles to watch people, I'm sure there's a reason for it, but it doesn't strike West Country rugger folk as being a valid reason.
Do you have any other stories about Bumps?
Oh, I suppose the stories about Bumps are legendary. Legendary. He was a legend in the Gloucester club. Absolutely a legend. I don't know exactly how many years he played for, but
I'm not sure. It certainly was quite a lot of years.
Him and Harold Boughton and Don Meadows were were legends in the Gloucester club for their length of service and continually playing. What amazes me when I think about Bumps was the very few times I've ever seen him crocked or not play because he was injured. That's amazing to me. He was a really hard man.
Well, I think the first year that he appears in the on the honours boards is the 1928-9 season.
Probably before that. Your honours board would come off from the photographs, I guess.
Well, you had to play so many games, didn't you, before you go on the honours board.
He played right up to the war.
Yes, he played right up to the war.
And would have played after, on after that.
I played with him, so he played right up to the war.
Yeah.
I played quite a few games with him.
I guess the standoff that you played with in Gloucester then was normally Don Meadows, wasn't it?
Yeah, I played with Don Meadows.
So what sort of player was Don?
Never went training in his life. Yeah. I never saw him training. And I remember one day going into the shop down there to get some fruit from him when I had my own shop in West Street, just above him there. I remember saying to him, "Come in training tonight, Don." Oh, he said, "Not likely." He said, "I don't need training. I do too much humping these spuds around all the week without wanting to do any training." I can always remember him saying that to me.
Playing at fullback behind Don Meadows, what memories do you have of how he played in front of you?
Great sidestepper.
Really?
Don was a great sidestepper. Yeah. I've seen him beat a whole team with one sidestep. Go off his left foot and literally beat the whole pack of forwards, 8, 9, 10, at one big sidestep. Never saw him tackle anybody, but he was very good at letting them go just by him and then flicking their heels and up, and that is a nasty shot to have if you're going full pit. And I never see him miss anybody doing that. I often play him behind him in the games I did play behind him, thinking this is a tackle for me coming, and out of the blue, down he went long before he got to me.
Yeah.
Because Don had flicked his two legs together. And I never saw him miss that. Never. Of course, Boughton and him were contemporaries at school.
Oh, yeah.
They were contemporary schoolboys together. Harold Boughton and Donnie Meadows at Archdeacon Street School.
Yeah.
Which was a great product of rugger players from that school in those days.
Yeah.
See, the Gloucester team, for not like today, you could see them all working around Gloucester wherever you went. John O'Bear in his shop, Don Meadows in his. They were all people who were seen by the public. And what if you got beat? What were you up to on Saturday? Oh, you shower. You know, you get comments about the game on Saturday, on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, as you went round. Quite different to today, quite different.
Another great name going back to those days of Gloucester rugby was Digger Morris. Can you tell us about Digger?
Yeah, Digger, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, Digger. Playing once with Digger at Leicester. And Leicester had a great following, as they do today. And Francis Edwards was playing for Leicester that day, against us. Edwards went to Leicester.
Just after the war. Then.
Just after the war. And Digger was playing, and the crowd were terribly unkind to him because he was knocking the Leicester forwards about good and proper. And the shed element of the crowd started shouting out, "Go back to the jungle! Go on back to the jungle! Morris, go back to the jungle!" And it was so annoying that to all of us, really, to be saying this. They just picked on Digger this one day. And in those days, when you went out of the field into the changing rooms of Leicester, there was two walls which were perhaps 8 foot high, and above that was some netting on pillars, some netting as well. So you could look through that and see the players coming in, out and going out of the tunnel, but you couldn't really get to them because of that. And I always remember we were going off that day and we won, which upset Leicester, of course, as well. And Digger had a great game that day. And there were about, oh, I'd say 50 or 60 lining this netting as we were going out, and I was right by Digger, and they were still shouting out, "Go back to the jungle," when he jumped up onto the wall like this, and they went. They ran as fast as they could go, all of them. There wasn't a soul left along the netting. I always remember that, because he couldn't have got over it anyway, but the very fact that he jumped up to it, they were gone. I always remember that with Digger. Yeah, I remember that with him, bless him.